Day, everyone out there. This is John Shomo, host of the podcast Then and Now. This is our 52nd episode, which means our final episode, basically, of year one of doing the podcast. I'd just like to thank everybody for listening in and contributing and sending us some feedback over the last year. It's been a very enjoyable project for me to do, and we're looking forward to year two of Then and Now, starting next week. But for episode 52, we're going to look at the facts for the week for February 21st through the 27th. We're going to tackle a couple of topics, as we usually do, and we'll give the answers to a couple of questions we got last week in our Three Good Questions segment. Remember, you can get in touch with us, send us a good question, send us an answer to a question, just give us general feedback on the podcast at the email address, threegoodquestions@gmail.com. That's T-H-R-E-E, threegoodquestions@gmail.com. All right, February 21st, let's take a look here first. The Washington Monument was dedicated on that date in 1885. Malcolm X, the civil rights leader, was assassinated as he got up to speak in the Audubon Ballroom in New York City on February 21st, 1965. President Nixon made his historic trip to China to open up relations, if you will, between the United States and China on February 21st, 1972. Birthdays include Representative John Lewis from Georgia, civil rights great, leader of the civil rights movement, later longtime member of the House of Representatives. John Lewis, born February 21st, 1940. A quick aside, our son Matt worked for our Congressman Tim Ryan in the Longworth building in his office as part of his time at Ohio State. And Matt told me one time that there were two people that he saw in his travels through the Capitol that he was kind of stunned and speechless to see. One of them was Senator John McCain, the late great senator from Arizona, and the other one was John Lewis. And I completely understand in both cases, his reaction there. I probably would have done the same. Okay, other birthdays on February 21st. Trisha Nixon Cox, daughter of President Nixon, had her wedding in the White House, actually, in 1971. Trisha Nixon Cox will be 79. Jennifer Love Hewitt, the actress, will be 46. Actor Kelsey Grammer will be 70. And Hall of Fame shortstop from the Detroit Tigers, the great Alan Trammell, will be 67. One of these days, they'll get around to inducting his double play partner for all those years in Detroit, Lou Whitaker, as well, hopefully. I think Lou Whitaker deserves a shot at the Hall of Fame also. Okay, February 22nd, Washington's birthday, the actual Washington's birthday, not the holiday we celebrated this past Monday. George Washington, born February 22nd, 1732. Spain gave Florida to the United States on February 22nd, 1819. On February 22nd, 1980, the greatest upset that I've ever witnessed in my lifetime of following and playing sports occurred at Lake Placid, New York, in the Olympic semifinal hockey game between the United States, bunch of college kids, and the best team in the world, the Soviet Red Army team, the Soviet Olympic team, also known as. You know the story if you're old enough. The United States, with an unbelievable, totally unanticipated 4-3 victory in the semifinals, beating the Soviets at a time of high tension in the Cold War, if you will, the relationship between our two nations. The Soviets had just invaded Afghanistan. There was a lot of tension about that. And this group of guys went out there on the ice and as Al Michaels said, do you believe in miracles? Yes, as the game ended. Boy, that's just a memory that you'll never forget, those of us who saw that happen. Other birthdays on February 22nd include the composer Frederick Chopin, born in 1810, the late senator from Massachusetts, Edward Kennedy, Teddy Kennedy, born February 22nd, 1932, the Hall of Fame manager, Sparky Anderson, the late Sparky Anderson, born on that date in 1934, the first manager to manage a team to a World Series title from both the American and the National League, the Reds and the Tigers, respectively. Julius Erving, Dr. J, will be 75 on February 22nd. Two-time major golf champion, Vijay Singh, will be 62. Vijay Singh won the 1998 PGA Championship and the 2000 Masters. And actress Drew Barrymore will be 50 on February 22nd. February 23rd, former President John Quincy Adams, then after his presidency, was elected to the House of Representatives from Massachusetts. And it was in that capacity that he collapsed in the House chamber, was carried to a room where he died in the Capitol building on February 23rd, 1848. U.S. Marines proudly raised the flag atop Mount Suribachi in Iwo Jima during World War II on February 23rd, 1945. That is one of the most, if not the most, famous wartime photographs, certainly of the 20th century and maybe ever. Dr. Jonas Salk's polio vaccine was proven successful in trials on February 23rd, 1954. That's right, folks. Vaccines help cure diseases. I've never had polio, have you? That's because it was basically eradicated by Dr. Salk's polio vaccines. Vaccines work. Birthdays include George Handel, the composer, born in 1685, the founder of the NAACP, W.E.B. Du Bois, born February 23rd, 1868. Actress Emily Blunt will be 42. And former Ohio State Buckeyes basketball star, now in the NBA, D'Angelo Russell, will be 29. On February 24th, in 1803, in the first really landmark Supreme Court case in American history, the U.S. Supreme Court gave itself the power of judicial review in the case Marbury versus Madison. That decision came down on February 24th, 1803. President Andrew Johnson was impeached by the House of Representatives on February 24th, 1868, the first president to be impeached. He was later found not guilty in his Senate trial. On February 24th, 1980, the U.S. hockey team finished the job, defeating Finland, 5-3 at Lake Placid, winning the gold medal game. That was a really hard game to play for our guys. After the biggest upset in the history of sports in the 20th century, they had less than 48 hours to regroup, get their heads back on straight, and play a very good Finland team in the final. They were down 3-2 at the end of the second period, scored three goals in the third period, and finished the job and won the Miracle on Ice gold medal. Birthdays, lots of them here on February 24th. The Hall of Fame shortstop from the Pittsburgh Pirates, Hannes Wagner, born on February 24th, 1874. He's the only player from that long-ago era who is still regarded by many baseball experts as the best ever to play his position. That's how good Hannes Wagner was. Admiral Chester Nimitz, World War II fame. Admiral Nimitz, born February 24th, 1885. I guess he was probably my dad's ultimate boss when he was in the Navy in World War II. Dick Goddard, the legendary, the late, great Dick Goddard, the legendary weatherman here in the Cleveland area for many, many decades. Dick Goddard, Green High School graduate, by the way, born February 24th, 1931. Founder of Nike, Phil Knight, will be 87 on February 24th. Senator Joe Lieberman, the late Senator Joe Lieberman, a vice presidential candidate in 2000 with Al Gore. Senator Lieberman passed away a couple years ago. He was born on February 24th, 1942. Actor Edward James Olmos will be 78. The late founder of Apple, Steve Jobs, born February 24th, 1955. And the Hall of Fame first baseman, I think most known for his time with the Orioles, but he spent a lot of time with a lot of other teams, including Cleveland. Eddie Murray will be 69 on February 24th. February 25th, 1913, the 16th Amendment to our Constitution was ratified. It created the federal income tax. That's February 25th, 1913. The first ever telecast of a National Hockey League game was done on NBC, mostly seen just in the New York area, on February 25th, 1940. Those who had television sets, which were an elite few, I'm sure, at the time, saw the New York Rangers defeat the Montreal Canadiens 6-2. On February 25th, 1964, American boxer Cassius Clay upset the heavyweight world champion Sonny Liston in a bout at Miami Beach. At the end of the fight, in the craziness that was in the ring after the decision, Cassius Clay announced that he was changing his name to Muhammad Ali. That was one of the great upsets in heavyweight history. Kuwaiti National Day is February 25th, dating back to 1991 when Kuwait was liberated by Allied forces in the Gulf War. Birthdays: Tia Leone, the actress, will be 59. Former Bears linebacker and star of many billboards in the Chicago area, Brian Urlacher. There are billboards for regrowing your hair, guys. Brian Urlacher, great player. Don't lose that fact. It will be 47 on February 25th. And George Harrison, mentioned on the Saturday Night Live 50 broadcast the other night. More on that in a few minutes. George Harrison, born February 25th, 1943, the youngest of the Beatles. February 26th, the Grand Canyon became a national park, second national park, I believe, Yellowstone being the first. Grand Canyon became a national park February 26, 1919. The 22nd Amendment was ratified on February 26, 1933. That sets term limits for presidents. Let's remember that as we go forward here. The World Trade Center suffered a bombing, not the one you're thinking of, on February 26, 1993. A truck bomb was exploded, if you will, in the fifth level of the parking garage below the World Trade Center in New York City. There was smoke damage. There were a few people killed. I guess, not knowing it then, it was a precursor of something to come a few years later. Birthdays for February 26th. Victor Hugo, born in 1802. Buffalo Bill Cody, born in 1846. John H. Kellogg of cereal fame, born in 1852. Hall of Fame pitcher Grover Cleveland Alexander, Pete Alexander, born in 1887. The legendary Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Fats Domino, born February 26, 1928. American music legend Johnny Cash, born on that date in 1932. And the Hall of Fame running back Marshall Faulk will be 51 on February 26th. A couple more days here, February 27th. The Reichstag building, the legislative center of the German government, was destroyed by fire. On February 27th, 1933, the fire was actually set, not by who Hitler said it was set by, though. He blamed the communists in an effort to get rid of them. On February 27th, 2003, we lost Fred Rogers. Mr. Rogers passed away on that date. Birthdays include Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, the poet, born in 1807. Author John Steinbeck, Grapes of Wrath, born in 1902. Actress Elizabeth Taylor, Liz Taylor, born in 1932. Former first daughter Chelsea Clinton will be 45. James Worthy, one of the greats from the University of North Carolina, won a national championship there, then joined the Lakers and won several NBA titles. James Worthy, great player, 64 on February 27th. And Hall of Fame tight end Tony Gonzalez will be 49. All right, there you have it. There are birthdays and anniversaries, if you will, for February 21st and 27th. Now we take on a couple of topics here. First of all, I want to deal with the idea of Social Security and a false statement made by Elon Musk and his Muskrats this past week. Musk claimed that there were thousands of people in the system that he and his people are illegally securing, if you will, or unsecuring, I guess the word is. He claimed that there are thousands of people aged 150 receiving Social Security check. Well, first of all, let's use a little bit of common sense here. He and his doji kids, let's call them muskrats for now, they didn't know that much of the original Social Security computer system was written in COBOL language, which I don't know, but I can look it up. In COBOL, when a date is missing in an entry of a person's statistics, if you will, the program defaults to the year 1875. Guess what? That's 150 years ago. Besides, any person with 1 ounce of common sense would quickly realize that there are no living people aged 150. So for him to go out there and in the press or to friendly journalists or whatever the case may have been, and say that it's fraud. There are thousands of people aged 150 still receiving Social Security checks. I don't know. You know, get some common sense there, I would say. people with common sense and those who consider Musk to be some kind of a genius, I think those are two mutually exclusive groups, in my opinion. I think there's a real dilemma here in the country. I think there are a lot of people who see Musk as some sort of inventor genius. He's not. How did he get wealthy? His parents purchased an emerald mine in their native South Africa in the early 1980s, before the end of apartheid. Apartheid was the legal separation and discrimination of the races in South Africa prior to the 1990s and Nelson Mandela getting out of prison, etc. Musk's parents became so wealthy, his father bragged that, and I quote him, "We had so much money at times we couldn't even close our safe," unquote. Nice problem to have. Young Elon invested in several companies over the years. The Boring Company, which boring, not boring as in, dull, boring as in boring for diamonds and things. The Boring Company, Neuralink, SpaceX, XAI, Tesla, PayPal, etc. He invested the money he inherited. Let's make that perfectly clear. Okay. Many are under the false impression that he's an inventor. As I said, he's an investor. This isn't some rags to riches story, and he's not some genius inventor. And I think that's a common misconception out there these days. Also, as I look at all of this stuff, is there anyone who has enjoyed firing more people than these two, Musk and Trump? I don't understand what, mental condition that must be. I never had to hire and fire anybody, but as a high school and middle school coach, we had cuts sometimes, tryouts and cuts. And I got to tell you, that's an excruciating process. I can remember a lot of long nights as an assistant coach in the Talmadge High School softball program. Cut night was awful. We would go to somebody's house and one of the coaches' houses and just agonize over those decisions. It's not easy at all for, I think, normal people to cut, aka, fire people, if you will. And I don't understand how gleeful these people are at just firing thousands of people willy-nilly without even looking into how they do their jobs or anything like that. I think it's a sign of some kind of illness personally, but I'm not the doctor and I don't play one on TV, so let's move forward. More positive stuff here to talk about. There was a great, enjoyable 3.5 hours of television on NBC this past Sunday night, the SNL 50 celebration, which really was a cool trip down memory lane for those of us of a certain age. To set the stage here, Saturday Night Live started in October of 1975. That was October of my senior year in high school at Firestone High School in Akron. And it was cool. I mean, it was, it was not like a lot of the shows that were on network television at the time. It was different. It was edgy. A lot of the great musical stars of the time appeared and sang their tunes and everything. So our generation, if you will, kind of grew up from a great age watching Saturday Night Live. So watching the special was really cool for me personally. It opened with a Paul Simon came out and sang a duet that he had sung with George Harrison in November of 1976 on the show, sang Homeward Bound, which was really cool to see. And it closed with a Paul, that would be Sir Paul McCartney, with a perfect choice. He chose the finishing medley from Abbey Road, Golden Slumbers, Carry That Weight, and The End. Paul still tries to sing, I think, and I'm not an expert on this. He still tries to sing in the same pitch as he did when he was 27 years old, and that was originally recorded. And he doesn't always get there, but really, so what? He's friggin' Paul McCartney. The star-studded audience in the studio, they were standing, singing every word. They knew every word, keeping time as they sang along. It was really cool to see. It was a great way for them to end the show. They didn't see it on NBC in Detroit, however. That's a little story that's brewing. WDIV Channel 4, the NBC affiliate in Detroit, cut away at 11:15 for the late local news, instead of showing the end, literally the end of the Saturday Night Live 50 celebration. And boy, did they hear about it from disgruntled viewers. They're scrambling. Their first statement said, well, you can see it on Peacock. Well, not everybody has streaming in Peacock. They're scrambling to try to find a time to fit it into their regular programming schedule up there in Detroit. I'm not sure if any other cities, NBC affiliates, cut it off like that. The affiliates were notified that the show would run late, over past 11 o'clock, if you will. And Detroit let it go till about 11:15, and then at that commercial break, they pulled the plug, if you will, and went and started the news. They're hearing about it now up in Detroit, though. That's a real faux pas. It's not quite the Heidi game from 1968, but it's a pretty big faux pas when you cut off Sir Paul McCartney, I'd say. Anyway, the SNL 50 thing, if you didn't see it, and if you do have Peacock, you should watch it. It's really cool, especially if you're of a certain age, I'd say. You'll really get a kick out of it. I really enjoyed it. Tammy and I watched it and really had a great time watching it. All right, let's move on to our three good questions segment. This week, we didn't get any new questions, so we'll answer the two questions that were posed last week. So if you haven't answered them yet and want to take a shot at it, you might want to hit pause here and try to figure out an answer before I give the answers. The first question was, who was Anton Cermak? We mentioned Bueno Days on Cermak Road in Chicago, gave them a shout out last week. And Cermak Road is named after a guy named Anton Cermak. Who was Anton Cermak? Well, the answer is he was the mayor of Chicago, elected in April 1931. He was by Franklin Roosevelt's side, President-elect Franklin Roosevelt, in Miami, Florida, on February 15, 1933. He shook hands with Roosevelt, who was seated in his limousine, open-air limousine, and a attempted assassination took place at that moment by a guy named Giuseppe Zangara, who shot his gun several times at FDR. Thankfully, it's one of those things where fate intervened, I suppose, in our favor, not Cermak's favor. Lillian Cross, a bystander, was standing next to Zangara when he opened fire, hit Zangara's arm with her purse, spoiling his aim. Cermak was shot in the stomach and died on March 6th, about 3 weeks later in 1933, 2 days after FDR was sworn in as our president. That's one of those what-ifs in history for sure. But after Cermak died, lots of things in Chicago became named after him, and one of them was one of the main roads through Chicago, one of the main east-west roads, Cermak Road. So that's who Anton Cermak was. His quote, really, as he was dying in the hospital, maybe this is legend, maybe not, he said, I'm glad it was me and not him. That's on his tombstone, actually. He's buried in Chicago. So that's who Anton Cermak was. That's the answer to one of our two questions from last week. The other one was Devontae Smith of the Eagles became the fifth player in NFL history, in football history, if you will, to win a Super Bowl title, a college football national championship while at Alabama, and the Heisman Trophy in 2020 season. Who were the other four to accomplish those three things in their careers? Well, here they are in no particular order, I guess. Reggie Bush, who recently had his Heisman reinstated from Southern California. Charles Woodson from Fremont, Ohio. Marcus Allen from Southern California. And Tony Dorsett, way back in 1976, his Pitt Panthers won the national championship and he won the Heisman and won a Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys. Marcus Allen won his Super Bowl with the Raiders, by the way, Reggie Bush with the Saints, and Charles Woodson with, who did he win his championship with? I don't remember. Anyway, those are the four. So Devontae Smith now becomes the fifth. Woodson was a Raider too, wasn't he? Devontae Smith is the fifth player to do those three things, and that's quite an achievement, to say the least. Before we sign off here, I'd like to remind everybody that we have set up this past week, the bracket challenge games for both men's and women's NCAA tournaments. We're going to do both tournaments this year. The games are set up. Obviously, the brackets won't be revealed for another 3 weeks or so. We'll give you at the time, as we close in on the time, we'll give you the password and everything to set up if you'd like to try and join us in that competition. But on ESPN.com, we will play both the men's and women's NCAA tournament bracket challenges this year. We played the men's tournament last year. It was a lot of fun. We had a dozen or so entries. Nikki Kammerer Yates came away with the win. Let's see if she can repeat this year. And we'll do a women's tournament bracket as well. So that ought to do it for this week. Thanks, as always. Thanks for tuning in. Spread the word. We're celebrating our first anniversary, if you will, this week. So thanks to everybody for choosing us out there in the podcastosphere. You can email us again at threegoodquestions@gmail.com. That's T-H-R-E-E, goodquestions@gmail.com. Thanks for choosing us out there. Have a great week, everybody. Take care. See you next time.